Proverbs 1:29 says, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, we hope you're having a great day, and we're glad you've joined us for Love Never Fails. Today's teaching concludes the message, God Has a Plan for Your Jericho, from Pastor Bill's study from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, let's join Pastor.
Don't say one word among yourselves. Don't do it. I believe the reason that he did that was it would stop doubt. You follow me? It would stop all fear. You know, that's like the Ebola thing. Listen, I'm just as concerned as any of you, but I'm not going to let fear and panic start ruling my life. You understand? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And you know what we need to be doing is be a people of prayer and be praying that, like I said earlier, let's let God displace this from our nation and so forth. And so, you know, not that we shouldn't care or be concerned. Certainly don't mean that. But we certainly don't want to be in fear about everything. But we look here and, you know, all of the people, amazing, they all obeyed their leader. They all walked in unity. Same heart, same mind, same spirit, and so forth. So they stopped any talk of fear or doubt by not saying anything. Words are very, very powerful. Now it says, and so we had the ark of the Lord circle the city. Remember, I think I told you that Jericho was 8 or 9 acres or something. And so it took about 30, 40 minutes to completely march around the entire city. So the ark of the Lord, they circled the city, going around it once. And look what they did after they did that. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Now, we're not told what the inhabitants of Jericho thought. I mean, surely they expected Israel to attack, not just march around you once and then quietly, without saying a word, go back to the camp. Now, you know that they were blown away. All they saw the men of war, but then they saw them carrying a box. Surely they must have wondered what was going on. See, the Ark of the Covenant, remember, is just a box carried on poles about 45 inches by 27 by 27 and so forth. And what else did they saw that? Then they heard what? They heard the priest blowing the 7 trumpets and so forth. So you know that they were really in shock or in awe of what was going on. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came up after the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did the exact same things for 6 days. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the plan of God different from our plan? I mean, would you have made a plan up like that? I don't think so. There's no city in history that's ever been conquered like that. And I know that these verses here, they're really deeper than I can teach. And I know there's more here than I understand. I do know that this was a test of faith, a test of faith for Israel. I mean, every morning for 6 days, Israel had to do the exact same thing. And they did it for 6 days. And you say, well, why was that? Why not 5 days? Why not 3 days? Lord, what's going on? Well, 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of God's, his perfect number, completion, fulfillment. I believe that God in his long-suffering and his mercy, because Jericho, the land of Canaan, were wicked people. You understand? I believe that for 6 days, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, God allowed them to see the children of Israel do this in order to give them the opportunity to repent. That's all they had to do, is to repent. And you know what? They had so many opportunities to repent. They could have been just like trusted God, just like Rahab. Amen? They could have done those things. You know, does God take pleasure in judging and wiping people out? No. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33:11, it says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." No pleasure at all. You say, well, God, you know, well, he predestined those people to be slaughtered. Oh, he did not. Where do we get such nonsense? Amen? No, God says, well, I picked you. You're no good, and I'm going to wipe you out. No, 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 no. Listen to me. No, God wants them to repent. He says, as I say, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, saith the Lord. Why should you die? He said that to the house of Israel. He's saying that to everyone. The heart of God is for every wicked person on earth to repent. Amen? That's the heart of the Lord. And I know this, that whenever a nation or a people, when they will not listen to God, when they will not obey God's word, you know what happens? There's no hope for them. They've turned their backs on God. So now Jericho's final day, it's come. And so it says in verse 15, and it came to pass, and here it is, on the seventh day, that they rose early about the dawning of the day, marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city, not just once like the other 6 days, but they marched around it seven times. And it says there, on the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed, or literally that word is devoted to destruction, okay? The destruction for the Lord. It says, doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you by all means abstain, in other words, stay away from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, all the gold, all the vessels of bronze, all the iron are made holy, sacred. They're set apart. They're consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Remember, the first fruits always of the land goes to the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Why did the walls, at the precise moment, whenever they shout, why did it fall down? You know, there's a lot of people that write a lot of things, you know, in commentaries. And there's a lot of great men and women of God who do great work, okay? But there are some that you just read and you just want to say, man, can I tear out this page or should I throw it in the trash? You know what I mean. I mean, for example, you know, I like to use Crummy and Dummy, okay? You know, Crummy says, well, the reasons that the wall fell at the exact precise moment is because an earthquake occurred. Well, that's what Crummy said. Dummy said, no, the reason that the wall of Jericho, the reason they fell was because all the marching around loosened up the bricks and all the blowing of the trumpets all those days, it loosened everything else up. And then when they shouted the great shout on the seventh day, it just collapsed. Can you imagine writing something in a commentary like that? No, listen, the first victory in the promised land came about by a shout, but I'm going to ask you a question. Was it really the shout that made the walls fall down? No. We know why it fell down. Because someone believed God. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:30, you ready? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. Listen, it's faith. Those people, the children of Israel, they're at the highest point of their faith ever. From here on out is going to be questionable, okay? But here, their faith is never higher, found anywhere in the Bible. And I look and I say, oh God, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. Now listen, if you count the times the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned in that chapter, I think it's 9 or maybe 11 times. And that tells us something. You could march around that city all you wanted to, blow as many trumpets as you wanted to, but without God's presence, because the Ark was the presence of God, amen? Without God's presence, there will never, ever, ever be a victory. You have to have the presence of the Lord. And when we obey God, We invite his presence into our Jericho. Amen? And that's why I say God has the plan for our Jericho, the perfect plan. And it may seem so strange to you, and you may say, this can't be the plan, but this is the way you're going. And why don't you just say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand all things, but I'm just going to trust you, and so forth. It says by faith in Hebrews 11:31, the harlot Rahab did not perish. To those who did not believe, when she received the spies with peace. Rahab, again, that's the only name we know in Jericho. Just that one lady. She took her eyes off what she was. She practiced one of the oldest professions in the world. She was a prostitute. She took her eyes off what she was and placed them on the living God. Amen? And trusted the Lord. In verse 21, it says, and look what happened now. And they utterly destroyed what? All that was in Jericho. Man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey. And look how they did it, with the edge of the sword. That's a frightening verse, isn't it? Come on, let's be honest. You know, you may say right now, you say, well, Bill, I'm kind of having a little trouble with that verse. You know, it sounds a little bit like ISIS, if you will. You know, and well, you know, after they killed everyone, I think verse 24 is going to tell us in a minute, they burned everything to the ground. That was their burial. They burned everything. The whole city, all that was in it. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, that God told them that when they entered the promised land, that they were to completely annihilate the seven Canaanite nations. God told them in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 4, he says, listen, you're going to go in there. Don't you make a covenant with them. Don't you show them any mercy. Don't you show any pity. Don't make marriages with this people. I want you to utterly destroy every baby, every old man, every young woman, every mother, every person, everyone. And then in Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, God says, but of the cities of these people which the Lord God gives you as an inheritance, here's what he says, you shall not let nothing that breathes remain alive. You shall utterly destroy them, kill their animals, kill absolutely everything that breathes. And you know what? The children of Israel, they did. You know, do some homework. Trumpets are mentioned here, the shofar, the ram's horn, more in 6 than any other area there. And go to Numbers 10 later on tonight and study about the trumpets. Remember that the silver trumpets that Moses made for the children of Israel, they were to call to all the children of Israel together when a word was needed to give to them, or for an assembly rather, or whenever the cloud was to move and so forth, they would blow the trumpet, and also for war. But here, they didn't use a silver trumpet. They used the shofar, the ram's horn, used a lot for the year of Jubilee. See, this war was God's war. Do you understand? This was God's war against the Canaanites because of their horrible, horrible darkness and their terrible sin. And you know, when we start thinking about all of this, you know, the atheist, you know, they'll say, well, you know, this is ethnic cleansing or it's a divine genocide and so forth because of the innocent people and children. But you know, if you study out the religion of the Canaanites, they were the most morally depraved culture on the earth at that time. Let me just list some of the sins of the Canaanites: idolatry, incest, adultery, child sacrifice, homosexuality, bestiality. Matter of fact, just read the sins of Leviticus chapter 18, and you'll see all those things that are there. They were a people that were devoted completely to idolatry, divination, and all the rest of it. So God was waging a war against the powers of darkness, if you will. And there were absolutely, if you study out their religion, and there's things I couldn't even speak of about them from this pulpit. It's so vile. But they had absolutely no prohibitions against bestiality. It was practiced among them there. But God, see, he was long-suffering. How long did the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites, how long did God wait before they were destroyed? From Genesis chapter, what was it, 15? All the way, 400 years, God had waited, but they refused to repent. And here's the problem, is that the Canaanites were very, very aware and knowledgeable of the God of the Old Testament, if you will, the true and living God. And if you saw the mockery that they made of him out of these idols, which I can't even tell you what it was. I mean, it was so vile. But yet they hated God. They wanted absolutely nothing to do with God. So after 400 years, their tomorrows, they just simply ran out. And they send away their day of grace. Imagine living with a people or a nation that is so depraved and so vile and so wicked that they had to be utterly destroyed. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Boy, they hated God. Imagine hating God. You know, Romans 1:30 talks about the list. There's people there. He says, and they were all haters of God. Proverbs 1:29 says, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. You know, God hates sin. It's just that simple. He doesn't hate the sinner. But he hates sin. And you know what? The cross is the measure of God's hatred of sin. He sent his only begotten Son. Amen? Oh, to die for our sin, to die for us, rather. We live in the age of grace, and I'm so thankful that we do. But we live on a planet that is in waiting for the day of judgment, and there's nothing can stop it. Now look at verse 22. But Joshua had said to the two men who spied out the country, now you go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her, meaning that her house didn't collapse. Amen? And where was her house built? On the wall. So isn't God good? He says, and the young men who had been spies, they went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, all that she had. And so they brought out her relatives and left them outside of the camp of Israel. They were still Gentiles. They hadn't been brought in yet. And so look what they did. They burned the city, all that was in it with fire, only the silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the Lord's house. And it says, and Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers when Joshua went to spy out Jericho. And then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation, watch carefully now, with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. That is an amazing prophecy from the Word of God. You know, 500 years later, under the most wicked king that Israel ever had, King Ahab, remember Ahab and Jezebel, the rebuilding of Jericho was violated during his reign. And it says in 1 Kings 16:34, it says, in his days, meaning the days of King Ahab, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. And he laid its foundation with Abraham, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, and set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So 500 years later, God's word came to pass. It seems to me that this fellow there in Jericho, who started to try to lay the foundation again and build up the gates, he literally sacrificed, it seems, his sons. That's horrible. And if not, whatever it was, it still cost him his two sons, just as God's word said. So in verse 27, it says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and that was the reason for his victory and our victory, okay? And his fame spread throughout all the country. Now, listen carefully. Israel did something that is unbelievable in front of their Jericho. And I think that we need to learn that tonight is that for one solid week in front of their Jericho, as they marched around their problem, they held their tongue. And that to me is just unbelievable. I mean, what kind of victory would we have if we would stop talking about how big our Jericho is, how big the circumstance is, if we would just shut up and not say a word and say, yeah, I'm going to walk around it. Yes, it's much bigger than me. I have to admit that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm not going to do anything. There it is. I'm not going to say anything, good or bad. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. You know, God has the plan for your Jericho, for my Jericho, whatever we're facing. He has the plan. And I think God is like saying, why don't you just chill out? Quit talking defeat. Quit talking this, or and just let me handle it for you. You know, we need to learn to hold our tongue. It says in James 3:2, for we all stumble in many things. That's all of us, okay? If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man who is also able to bridle the whole body. So a person's maturity can be measured by what comes out of their mouth. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. And you know what? We are more likely to sin with what comes out of our mouth than any other sin, aren't we? That's a true word. It says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life, the greatest evil, the greatest good. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, meaning words. And those who love it, those who talk a lot, will eat its fruit. So the power of words. Have you ever noticed that the devil uses words to try to defeat us? Don't you hear words all the time in your mind? You know, you're a loser. God's not going to forgive you this time, or God's not going to answer your prayer. Why are you praying? All these things and so forth. See, a thought is nothing more than something that's filled with words. Words are so powerful. The first generation that left Egypt, why didn't they enter the promised land? Words. The spies came back and said, oh, gosh, the walls, they're high, they're fortified. The people, they're giants in the land. And you know what? We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And what did the children of Israel? They started weeping. They wanted to even kill Joshua and Caleb, because Caleb then said, they're bread for us. If God's with us, we can defeat them. It was words. You know, words are powerful, aren't they? You know, if I said to you, I love you, then it wouldn't bother you. You say, oh, that's cool. If I said I couldn't stand you, it might bother you a little bit. Do you understand how words are powerful? Oh, honey, I love you with all my heart. Honey, I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving you. Words are powerful. They cause all of our emotions. It's just incredible. And listen, we must fill our minds with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. See, an unrenewed mind, what is it, Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You know, well, you have to renew your minds. An unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. And so not only that, an unrenewed mind can't pull down the strongholds. Those strongholds, remember, is nothing more than a house built on thoughts that the devil's trying to put lies into our mind. And if you're not filling your mind up with the truth, then you know what? The lies are pretty easy to just come in. Christians believe lies all the time. If you don't believe me, just read Facebook. No, I'm serious, man. It's unbelievable. Listen, what did Jesus say? Jesus told the Jews that believed in John 8:31. He said to them, he says, if you abide, if you stay in my word, if you abide in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you cope with life. No, the truth shall what? Set you free. That's what the truth does, loved one. It sets us free. We're all going to face Jerichos in our life. No matter who you are, we're all going to face them as we run the race of faith. We're going to have problems. We're going to have fears trying to come in. And you know what? Sometimes Jerichos are so big, and I think that may be one reason God said march around it for 7 days, 6 days, and so forth, is because God wanted them to see that it's bigger than them. And only God can take it. Amen. Sometimes we need to just say, Lord, this is a big problem. But if the deal is this, there is no Jericho bigger than my God. Amen. And see, God has the plan for your Jericho, no matter what it is. Remember again, we fight the good fight of faith from the point of victory, and the defeated one, the wicked one, he fights always from the point of defeat. Now, there's one more thing. Israel had to do something. Israel had to wait 7 days for the victory. And I tell you that that's what we need to do. We need to stand daily in faith, waiting on God to manifest either the plan or the victory for our Jericho. You see, he has it. All we have to do is trust in him. Our victory is always guaranteed. That's why we need to hold on and not grow weary in all the things that we do.
We want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Pastor Bill's study of Joshua continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we trust you'll tune in once again. I'm Brian Whitaker. We hope that you have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.